This morning I'll be preaching from 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 25 to 33, and the title of my message, The Two Sons of David. So let's turn to our scriptures this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 14, 25 to 33, and let me read this for you. Now in all Israel there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Verse 26. And when he cut the hair of his head, for at the end of every year he used to cut it, when it was heavy on him, he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels by the king's weight. There were born to Absalom three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a beautiful woman. So Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem without coming into the king's presence. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but Joab would not come to him. And he sent a second time, but Joab would not come. Verse 30, then he said to his servants, "See, Joab's hill is next to mine, and he has barley there, and go and set it on fire." So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and went to Absalom at his house and said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" Absalom answered Joab, "Before I send word to you, come here that I may send you to the king to ask, 'Why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still.' Now, therefore, let me go into the presence of the king, and if there is guilt in me, let him put me to death." Then Joab went to the king and told him, and he summoned Absalom. So he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the preaching of your word. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide as we listen to what your words has to teach us and say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to dedicate to all of the brothers and sisters this last message of mine here on this last Sunday of the month at CG. And I pray that you will always be following the Son of David, Jesus Christ, who is also the Son of God, and live for him and him alone. You know, David had many sons, as we know, but we will just look at two of them this morning. And of course, the first is none other than Absalom that we have just read from the scriptures. Absalom, he killed his own brother, Amnon, and he also rebelled against his own father, David. And the second is none other than Jesus Christ, David's son through ancestry. As we read in Matthew 15:22, when a Canaanite woman saw him, she cried, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then he is also the Son of God, as well as the Son of David that we have mentioned. And Jesus called us what? He said, "I do not call you as my disciple anymore, I call you my brothers." And as brothers of his, we are to be like him, faithful to our Heavenly Father. And if you look at the life of Absalom, at the last part of his life, he rebelled against his father for the throne. While Jesus was rose from the dead by the Father and seated on his right hand in the heavenly realm, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, instead. And then when we look at the two men, they both actually died on a tree. But the difference between them was one died in rebellion, the other died in obedience to save the world. And here, these scriptures that we read, it tells us that Absalom was a good-looking guy. You know, probably all the girls go after him. But Jesus, according to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says that he was despised and rejected by mankind. People hide their faces from him. But despite his good looks, Absalom did not have a good character. He killed his half brother Amnon for raping his sister Tamar, like his father David, who killed Uriah, a loyal soldier and husband of Bathsheba, with whom he had a son from an adulterous affair. And it tells us something about this guy, Absalom, because that even with his good looks, he had no good character. Good looks does not produce good character. Only the fear of God will. And so from verse 25 to 27, we want to look at the outward appearance or our physical appearance, how it play a part in the life of Absalom as well. In verse 25, it says, "In all Israel there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him." Who is Absalom? Absalom is the third son of David. He was born to Maachal, daughter of Talmai, the king of Gersha. And according to verse 27, he himself had three sons and a daughter. His daughter's name was named after his own sister Tamar, and she became a beautiful woman, and apparently, I believe, the same as Absalom's sister. He named her after this sister because he had a good relationship with her, and he was mad with Amnon for raping her, and he killed him, which led to his estranged relationship with his father David. And here it tells us that because of Absalom's good look, he was praised. We assume that he was praised for his good looks, as verse 25 tells us. Not only that, but his parents must have been proud of him, hearing all those praises about him. And even for David, after Absalom killed the brother and he ran to his grandfather's house, David still longed for him. And so Absalom is a charismatic and good-looking guy that everybody is drawn to. So much so that he has enough followers at the end, even for what he did, was able to lead them to rebel against his own father, the king of Israel. And verse 26 tells us that he took great pride in his hair. So his hair must have made him look even better. And he cut it only once a year when it became too heavy for him to carry it around. And he weighed it, and his weight was 200 shekels by the king's standard. You know, when you read that, I don't know how you feel. For me, when I read that, I say, who in the world weighs his hair after he cuts it off, right? Do you weigh your hair after you cut it? Absalom actually did it. So you can see how vain this person is as well. You know, after the stay-home order or the lockdown was lifted, all the barbers were open. I went for a haircut, okay? I went for a haircut and I came back. My wife looked at my hair and she says, "You look better with your hair before you cut it off." And she also said, "It actually makes you look younger with that long hair," okay? So what I'm telling you this is because a person's hair can make a person look better, right? And the ladies knows it very well. That's why they spend hundreds of dollars even to have their hair done. Okay. See, but sorry to tell you, good looks cannot produce good character. It only produces vanity and pride. It was Absalom's hair that also got him killed at the end when he got entangled to a tree branch while he was fleeing from Joab. So he died hanging on the tree for the wrong reason. unlike Jesus. Looks also cannot substitute character, because without good character, there is no fear of God, which is actually what produces that good character. See, so looks cannot substitute character. And so as a result, you see Absalom, even with good looks, he still went on and killed his brother and rebelled against his father. Why? Because his only concern was about himself. In fact, he thought that with Amnon out of the way, he actually is the next in line as the king to the throne. But you may say, wait, you just said that Absalom was the third son, right? How can he be the next in line? Isn't there a second son? And who is that second son? And the second son is not mentioned, or we have not heard much about him. The second son was actually named Daniel, and his mother was Abigail. And so he was thought to have died at a very young age. So Absalom thought that he was definitely going to be the next in line, but he couldn't wait. In his vanity, in his pride, he rebelled against his own father for the throne. See, good looks cannot replace good character. But yet, it does not stop people from trying to look good to others. You know, Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 8, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So it's not about the outward appearance, but it is about the inward. You see, a person with a good character that makes him a good father, a good husband, a good brother, and a good son, and also a good disciple of Jesus Christ. And only the vain and the prideful are concerned with the outward appearances and even the performances that they can do to show others how good they are. And this cannot please God at all, because if we are operating with that thought or the idea by just merely looking good and doing good for others to see, we are still trapped by the sinful, selfish nature we have. Remember, Jesus in the gospel rebuked the Pharisees because they were concerned with the external appearances than the internal goodness that they should have as God's people. And Jesus did not hesitate to condemn them. And so are we concerned with just looking good on the outside instead of concerned with what is good inside of us that will come out as a person of good character? You see, God is the one who transformed us from the inside. But even though that is true, if there is no fear of God inside of us, then we can be like those Pharisees that we see in the New Testament. Whereas you look at Jesus, Jesus seeks to please his Father instead. See, you cannot please God just by doing good or appearing good without a godly character. And then in verses 28 to 32, we want to look at the personal character of Absalom. You see, after he killed his brother Amnon, he ran to live with his grandfather for 3 years. He only returned to Jerusalem after Joab persuaded David to let him come back home. And according to verse 28, after he returned to Jerusalem, he lived for 2 years without seeing the king's face. And so in verse 29, he sent for Joab in order to send him to the king, but Joab refused to come. So he sent a second time, verse 29 tells us, but he refused again to come. So finally in verse 30, he says to his servant, he says, look, Jacob's field is just next to mine, okay? And he has barley there. Go set it on fire. In other words, burn it all down. So Absalom's servant set the field on fire. And he doesn't have to invite Joab a third time. Joab himself came running, asking in verse 31, why have your servant set my field on fire? And so Absalom replied him in verse 32, look, I sent to you and say, come here so I can send you to the king to ask, why have I come back from Geshur? It would be better for me if I was still there. Now then, I want to see the king's face. And if I'm guilty of anything, let him put me to death. And so verse 32 tells us that Absalom wanted his request to be made known through Joab to the king. And also he wants his wishes to be granted to him. And he says that if he doesn't want to see my face, then why he brought me back? Okay, if he brings me back and leave me here and don't want to see me, then you know I demand that I have to see him. Because if I'm guilty of anything, let him put me to death. Okay. It tells you a lot about this guy because he's behaving like a spoiled brat. Okay. That time with his grandfather obviously had made him become more spoiled, so to speak. Okay, because grandfather tends to spoil their grandchildren. And that's why the grandchildren love their grandfather more than their father always. Because grandfather will give them all the candy they want, but when they go home, they get none. And so, Absalom, you know, if you look at what happened until now, he had literally gotten away with murder. And all he got for it was just a little slap on the finger when he was quarantined, so to speak, for 2 years in his home after he returned. But he was unhappy. He wanted to be treated like before, a prince, the son of the king, when he had not even apologized or admitted for the pain and shame he brought to his family. So you see that, you know, good looks cannot produce good personal character. A good son, a good husband, a good father, a good brother, or a good disciple is not just by appearing to be doing good or looking good on the outside. A person of good character would admit that he is wrong, would admit what he does is wrong, and be remorseful even to accept the consequences. But in Absalom's last statement in verse 32, it did not show all these things. In fact, it was like a challenge to the king. As he says, if you find me guilty of anything, put me to death then. It was more like a demand than a request. It's like someone with an entitlement spirit insisting for his rights and not taking responsibility for his wrongdoing. And so Absalom had not left for us a good example to follow. And so question is, have we left anything that is good to be an example for anyone, especially if we are believers in Christ? In fact, the question can be asked, what good examples have you left? And what bad examples have you set? It's not that we are perfect, but we will have good and bad examples. But what good is the good one more than the bad one, or the bad one more than the good one? Because the people still can learn from our bad ones because they can avoid doing what we do. But we never admit that what we do is wrong. We are always right. That's our problem as human beings. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. In other words, he's saying, you know, be careful who you hang out with. If you hang out with the guys with a bad character, you're going to learn to become like him. But spend more time with those with good character. And so if you look at the two sons of David, you have to ask the question, who do you spend more time with? Okay, Absalom will represent all the people with bad character. Or do you spend more time with Jesus? Whether it's reading the scriptures, studying it, learning about him and his teaching, because Jesus commands us in the Great Commission, go make disciples. Then at the end of it, or somewhere near the end of it, he says, command them to obey all my teachings. And so, if we really are following Jesus, are we really doing all that he teaches? You know, when we sing the chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus, do we really mean what we sing at all? If we do, then we will be obeying all that he has taught us. Because when we do so, we will become more like him. We will have that kind of godly character like him. We will be loving and sacrificial, as well as just and righteous like him. Then we can be a good son, a good husband, a good father, a good brother, or a good disciple, in the sense of that word's true meaning. It's not just superficial, but it is coming from the inside out. And like Jesus, we then will be humble instead of prideful like Absalom. And in humility, then we can admit what we do is wrong when it is wrong, instead of give reasons and excuses for them. And we will be sacrificial like him, instead of feeling that we are entitled to everything like this generation that we live in. You know, we often hear people say, oh, just be yourself. You know, we understand what they mean when they say that phrase to us. But have you stopped to consider that the self is actually sinful by nature? So it's better to be more like Christ than to be ourselves, especially when it's in the, you know, a gray kind of area. And so good looks does not produce good character. And our character as a person must be like Jesus. And then we move on to something that we all have failed to do as believers as well. That is having righteous courage, verse 33. You see, in verse 33, Joab went to the king after he met with Absalom and told him, this is what your son won. So the king agreed, as the king summoned Absalom, and he came in and bowed down with his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. And this verse, actually, we will do it, you know. Like any good, loving father, David accepted his son unconditionally. He embraced him like the father who embraces the prodigal son when he returned home. But one thing he failed to do, he failed to confront Absalom of all the things that he did was wrong, particularly the murder of his brother, unlike Nathan the prophet, who confronted him of his murder of Uriah. He didn't learn anything from there. He did not discipline or punish him like God punished him by taking away the son he had with Bathsheba in that adulterous affair. You see, love without confronting sin is not love. But it actually brings more problems to ourselves and for others. And sin without consequences will not help the sinners learn from that lesson and not to do it again. But in today's society, we reward sinners. Look at what's happening outside on the streets of America today, in the cities all over the country. Looters and vandalizers are not punished for what they do. Instead, some people are giving excuses and rationalizing their sins for them. And what do we do when we do that? We reinforce their sinful behaviors. And then we have to face the problems that follow. Just like David, when he failed to question and challenge and correct his son for what he did, he had to face the rebellion from him afterwards in chapter 15. And when that happens, he had to flee for his life. And so we are no different from David when we do not confront sin courageously. And oftentimes in the name of love and grace, we are so afraid to hurt people's feelings. And as a result, we create more problems for everyone else around. And so the question is, do we do such thing out of love and grace without justice and righteousness? Do we make excuses or rationalize and even sometimes interpret scripture to make sin more palatable and acceptable? And are we more concerned about people's feeling or how God feels about sin? God feels so strongly about sin that he judges the wicked. But in his grace, at the same time, he helps those who are willing to repent of their sin. But without confronting, how can they repent? And people are more prone to overlook sin when there is a relationship with the sinner. And in this case, with David, it is true too. But if we truly love him, we will confront him or them of their sins, whether they are related to us biologically or spiritually. But oftentimes we are too gracious or too afraid, and thus we allow the sinner to continue to live in their sinful behavior and then to hurt others around them. You see, we are called to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior. But the question is, are we really doing so? Because when we look at Jesus, Jesus did not fail to confront sin, even the sins of the religious leaders of his time. But we are often found following who? The world. Especially when the sinner is someone we know, someone related to us. But when we fail to do so, then we create more problems for everybody else, including ourselves. Just like David had to flee for his life when Absalom rebelled against him. In conclusion, what we can say is that good looks is an advantage. It's definitely an advantage. But the danger of it is it can cause vanity and pride. And then being gracious is so good. Like David, being gracious and act naturally like a father ought to do. But it's not good when sin is ignored. And then by implication, we also say that, you know, desiring to look good to others is actually not wrong. But it is wrong only when it leads us not to confront sin. But instead, it will reinforce sinful behaviors and allow people to continue to live in sin and hurt others by our non-confrontation of sin. You know, there's an Italian Renaissance philosopher and writer by the name of Machiavelli. And he's well known for a book he wrote called The Prince. And this guy, he observed as he looked at the the society, he looked at especially the political world, he find that good guys do not win. And so he advocated that we learn from the bad guys how to get ahead in life. And a lot of people are doing this today. They do what others do so that they can get ahead. Unlike Jesus, who taught us differently, he warns us not to be like the world. He warns us not to love the world. And so by implication, as believers, we need to stop behaving like the world. Stop making excuses and rationalizing sins for ourselves or anyone, or we will reap the same evil and violence on the street we see across the country today. And when good has become to be called evil and evil is called good, because we do not call out sin as it is. And so if you truly want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to speak out against sin. Because Jesus did that. And let us be more like Jesus as his disciple than like the world, and loving it more than we are loving Jesus. Jesus calls us to hate the world and not to follow it. And so may God teach us to be a true disciple of the Jesus Christ as we live in this wicked world today. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to repent of our sins, of non-action, non-confrontation, and be bold and courageous like Jesus himself did, like Nathan the prophet, instead of being like Absalom or David. And so that, God, we can be that light for you in this world. And you say that if we do not live up to what you teach, you will take the lampstand away from us. And we pray that you have mercy so that our lampstand may not be removed from our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.